In my defense, I have none, for never leaving well enough alone. By a convenient alias, narrated by Rhea 314. Fandom, my country, the new age. Relationship, Nam Sono, and Sohui. It started on an evening when Sono arrived at Hui's hut on the edge of town to discover that Hui was not alone. He almost didn't go down to meet with him then, given that no one could know of their coerced alliance. But from a distance, he could still recognize the three men sitting outside with Hui after a moment's observation. They were the three who had accompanied Hui in his escape from the Aodong. One of them was the doctor who had saved Sunho's life. Another was the strange, scarred officer who had once committed a murder in front of Sunho, and then basically told him to forget about it. The third, Sunho knew little about, but in any case, all three of them were close with Hui, and Hui had told Sono they were helping him with his plans. To be precise, he had said, "If your father were to chase them down and kill them because they survived Liaodong, it would be of no benefit to him. They won't publicize the details of the king's withdrawal, and they're useful to me, and I'm still useful to him." Sono had listened to this aggressively protective explanation and proceeded to not mention it, or the three men's existence, to his father at all. There were many things it was better his father didn't know, and this was certainly one of them. It was better his father know as little about Hui as possible, and Sono had always made his reports brief and to the point. He told his father what Hui had accomplished for their goals lately, and any cooperation he would need on their part, and that was about it. Sometimes his father pressed for details. "And how about his attitude? Is he still under control?" To questions like this, Sono would always reiterate that Hui would never do anything to jeopardize Yun's safety, and besides, Sono had it handled, thank you very much. His father never looked completely convinced, even though Sono really did have it handled. He still considered Hui an active threat, which was why there were many things about Hui it was better he didn't know. So Sono hadn't reported Hui's compatriots, but he did know them, and they knew him, if not exactly well, so he strode down to the table where they were gathered, with only a moment's hesitation. Hui looked up and fell silent at the sight of him, but the other three continued to talk, pointedly, as if to make it clear that Sono's presence did not require their acknowledgement. "Hui," Sono said, "I need to speak with you." He jerked his head towards the hut. Couldn't speak in front of these men, even if he thought it likely Hui would tell them much of what he said after he left. Hui began to get up, but the man sitting next to him, the big one, Zhongbom, Sono thought his name was, grabbed his arm. To Sono, he said, "So important he can't finish eating first." Hui said, "It's fine, we'll be done quickly." Moonbo, the doctor, turned and gave Sono a glare. "Hey, this is the first chance we've had to eat such a fine meal together in ages. We even have pheasant meat tonight, which is rare, and I bought a special wine. I know for a noble like you, you probably have fancy dishes every night, and it's probably nothing to you. But you could respect a peasant's meal too, couldn't you? Or maybe your mother never taught you manners. I'm sure your father didn't." Hui cleared his throat. "Moonbo, don't, please." He pulled himself free of Zhongbom and followed Sono into the shack. His friend's eyes following them, full of pity for him and hatred for Sono. Sono didn't give a shit what some ragtag ex-soldiers thought of him. Maybe he shouldn't have interrupted Hui's meal, though. But he wasn't some tyrant barging in. If Hui had wanted to, he could have made Sono wait. He could have finished enjoying his dinner. "Do you have meat that rarely these days?" Hui sighed. "Please ignore Moonbo. Even if he offended you, he did save your life that time." One of Sono's hands had somehow migrated to his hip, and the other to Hui's shoulder.
"You're a good hunter. How could you have trouble getting hold of meat?"
"I'm hardly spending all my time hunting these days," Hui snapped.
"You could..."
Hui pushed his hand away with raised eyebrows.
"Nam Sono, I'm sure you didn't come here to talk about my diet."
He hadn't. He'd come here to discuss their research into Pengwen's various connections and see what Hui thought of some new information. The discussion lasted about an hour. When he left, he glanced at the table. There was still food left for Hui, but his friends looked disgruntled. And it had probably gotten cold. A pheasant, and some decent wine. For Sunno, such things meant nothing, but he knew well enough that at least the wine was indeed something rare for Hui. He used to insist that they have picnics together, him and Hui and Yun, and tried to bring lots of delicious food, as much as he could smuggle out of the kitchens without attracting his father's notice. This usually worked well. Hui enjoyed picnics, and would more willingly accept any sort of treat from Sono, as long as it appeared to be aimed at Yun. Sometimes, Sono would drop by their house with small gifts, like sweets from the marketplace, and Hui would accept those too. But they would mostly go to Yun, so it was better if Sono made it some sort of event. He used to try and give Hui other things too. Hui's clothing, while serviceable, would be worn to pieces before he would buy anything new, while Sono got new outfits regularly, more of them than he needed. He'd once try to push some of his extra clothes on Hui.
"I don't even like this chokoli. It's too dark for me."
But Hui had huffed at him and complained that Sono was too small for his clothes to fit Hui. Untrue, their size difference was slight at the time. And then that it was too nice for the kind of work Hui did at the smithy.
"You could wear it for special occasions. Or at home. I bet Yun would like it."
But this time, even invoking Yun hadn't helped any. Hui had looked at him seriously and said,
"Sono, I know what you're doing. I don't need your hand-me-downs, okay?"
He'd still been polite enough not to say, "I don't need your pity." But the message had come through loud and clear. Sono had snorted to cover up his own embarrassment and said,
"Fine. If you don't like it, I won't give it to you. Probably too nice for an ugly guy like you anyways."
That was something else he used to do, make fun of Hui's appearance. His appearance, his swordsmanship and shooting, his cooking when he brought his own creations on picnics. Everything about him. It hadn't offended Hui, because he knew Sono didn't mean it. He could take insults, teasing, tussling, just not gifts. As if Sono wasn't allowed to be nice to him, or actually care. The most he was allowed to do was lose bets to Hui on purpose, and occasionally give small presents to Yun. And now, Sono thought bitterly, he couldn't even do that. And Hui had basically been wearing the same tattered outfit ever since escaping Liaodong. And apparently didn't even get much meat to eat because he didn't have the fucking time to go hunting, which was Namjoon's fault, and also partly Sono's. And Sono couldn't do anything about it because they weren't friends anymore. Probably, given that they weren't friends anymore, Sono shouldn't have cared. But even if they weren't friends, Hui deserved better than that. Deserved better than anything Sono had done to him. Every way Sono had failed him. Sono considered the matter. Hui wouldn't thank him for considering his financial state. Probably he'd just tell Sono to spend that kind of energy spoiling Yun, which Sono was already doing to the extent his father would allow. However, given that Sono was already past the point of respecting Hui's wishes, well past that point by now, maybe as long as Hui didn't, as long as he could figure out a way to get around Hui's pride,
which he and his father had already bludgeoned in 50 different ways by now. Maybe he could make it so that Hui could afford meat all the time, even if he didn't have time for hunting. It was at least worth a try, wasn't it? So it was that when they next met, a little less than a week later, Sono had brought a small package with him, which he handed to Hui at the end of their meeting with a grave, slightly irked expression that he hoped didn't show his nervousness. Usually at these meetings, all he would bring was information, sketches of people Hui should know about, drawn by an artist employed by Sono's father, drawings of the layouts of certain buildings or maps of certain sections of town. Once he had brought Hui a small bottle of ointment when he noticed Hui had injured himself on the job. Hui accepted the information, always, but had rejected the ointment, saying that Moonbo had already treated his injuries with his own stuff and he didn't need any treatment from Namjoon, a man he couldn't trust and didn't like. Sono hadn't had the face to say that the ointment had actually been from him. He doubted very much that Hui would take that as being any better. Sono was unsure what reception his current package would receive. It couldn't be construed as possibly poisonous, of course, which was a point in its favor. Hopefully Hui would put it under the same category as the maps and sketches. Useful for missions. Useful for Hui in general. He'd watched closely as Hui unwrapped it. It was just money, plain and simple. Some rough, broken pieces of silver. Hui fingered it and gave Sono a look. Is there someone you want me to bribe? Sono fought the urge to cross his arms defensively. That's up to your discretion. My father is giving you this as a salary for your work so far. You're being paid in a month's time, depending on how well you do your work. As for how you spend it, considering our goals are your goals, you may want to use it as a working budget, or... He said, in what he hoped was not a hopeful or too pointed tone of voice. You could spend it on buying yourself and your companions more meat and wine. I'm sure that doctor of yours would be happy. Hui snorted, but his expression was more troubled than amused. Your father never mentioned actually paying me before. Why is he starting now? I think he was worried you were unstable and was more focused on controlling you, Sono said honestly. Then he lied. Since he's now sure you're loyal to us, he figured we should reward such loyalty. I don't want money from Namjoon, Hui said, practically spitting. He knows what I would want. This was familiar ground, though Sono usually argued with Hui over it more in his imagination than in real life. Yana's safer with us than with you for now. And safer if she doesn't remember you or have contact with you. Safer away from me because your father would kill her otherwise is what you mean. Well, yes. Hui waited a moment to see if Sono would contradict him. When he realized Sono wasn't actually going to do so, he let out a harsh laugh and threw the money on the ground. What am I even supposed to do with this? I have a roof over my head and the others usually bring in some food. We scrounge up enough to handle the rest. And this kind of money isn't even... What am I supposed to do with it? Whatever one does with money, Sono said brusquely. It annoyed him a little that Hui was fine with taking food and money from his new friends when he'd never have allowed such presumption from Sono. Wasn't even allowing it now, though Sono wasn't about to give up. Spend it. I'm sure you'll find a way. If anything, that kind of money... I'd want it spent on Yun, you know that. What am I supposed to do with it? Yun is fine. Anything she wants, I get for her. Hui rubbed his eyes. He looked halfway to yelling at Sono even for that, but instead he said, Good. You better. There was a moment of silence. Sono knelt in the dirt and, with Hui's gaze on him, picked up the silver. It wasn't dirty. Hui kept the hut floor clean. He held it out to Hui. Buy your friend some wine. Get yourself a new outfit. The thing that always made Yon happiest was seeing her Oraboni was happy too. Hui smiled at Sono. It was a bitter smile. Sono, take it. Give the money back to your father. Tell him I refused it. I won't, Sono said. I have been telling him you're under control. I'm not going to report you rebelling. You really don't change. It didn't sound like Hui thought that was a good thing. His voice was tired. His face was tired. But he took the money and tucked it into his robes. Go home to your father then, Sono. I won't argue with you more tonight. Sono left feeling tired too. That was how he felt every time he saw Hui lately. Tired, anxious. Sometimes a little relieved to see Hui in one piece. Tonight, though, he felt a little smug, too. Sure, there had been a shouting match, but considering he hadn't been punched and Hui had even ended up taking the money, he felt it had all gone over well. Next month, he would have to see if he could get away with it again. Or maybe sooner, depending on how Hui spent the money and how fast it ran out. Hui considered spending a little of the money. Buying food and drink for his friends wasn't a bad idea, considering that lately, except when he found time to hunt, they'd largely been supporting him. Munbo was the only one of them with a consistent job, but Chungbom and Pak Chido took on odd jobs with local bandits from time to time, while Hui mostly focused on his work for Namjoon, which until now hadn't paid. It wouldn't be bad to buy them something, at least to pay them back for it. He didn't want Namjoon's money, though. He really, really didn't want Namjoon's money. Even if Sono had refused to return it, it made Hui feel sick to think of keeping it. It felt like a final step in becoming Namjoon's dog. He hadn't even gotten any pay from Namjoon the time he'd gone hunting with him and Sono and Isonge as a beater. And frankly, he'd been fine with that, because even then Namjoon's attitude had grated on him. Had irked him then. Now, of course, their feud was on a whole different level. Of course, throwing money away was wasteful, and Hui knew he could be unreasonable at times. Perhaps, since he was already functionally under Namjoon's heel, waiting for a chance to get out, it was pointless to make a big deal of small things like this. He went to his friends for advice. Chungbom and Munbo in particular, he thought, generally struck a good balance between practicality and idealism, especially when what was at stake was something like money for food. Munbo spat on the ground. Forget money. I wouldn't take a hand from Namjoon if I was falling off a cliff. Chungbom nodded. That friend of yours should have taken it back. Hui sighed. He was doing what he thought best. He thinks it's better if Namjoon is sure of me. Chungbom gave him a look, and he avoided eye contact. He wasn't sure why he was defending Sono either. Pak Chido, surprisingly, found it the least infuriating. Use it to buy something that will help you, he said. An extra layer of armor or a knife. Or give it to someone who needs it more than us. It's money out of Namjoon's pocket. Of course he can't buy your loyalty, but if he wants to waste his money... He shrugged. Hui considered what all of them had said and sighed. You may be right, he said to Pak Chido. But I don't think I can do it. After all this time, even if it doesn't make any difference, I still have some pride. Namjoon can threaten me into obeying him, but I won't take his wages. All three friends nodded seriously. Pak Chido said, Very well. What will you do then? Toss it in a river? Give it back to him, Hui said. I need him to know that I didn't accept it. Otherwise, what's the point? Sono won't take it back for me, but I'll find an opportunity myself. Hopefully before he tries to pay me off again. Within a month, then, Chungbom said. Right? Within a month. Namjoon didn't like to meet with Hui often. If his connection with Hui were discovered, after all, the plan to use Hui to assassinate Pangwon would be put in jeopardy. And Namjoon was constantly watched, by court spies, by his own household, by the world in general, as a notable figure like him attracted attention in public. Sono, on the other hand, was not watched as closely. He was only Namjoon's bastard son, and even if he'd been stirring up trouble for Pangwon and many other nobles lately, people found it hard to take him seriously. He could slip away for secret meetings easily. Namjoon could not. That, and Namjoon had always found it unpleasant to be in the same room as Hui, or forced to talk with him. Hui couldn't blame him. He found it equally unpleasant to be around Namjoon. The man repulsed him. Being around Sunho, on the other hand, well, it didn't make Hui feel disgust. It did hurt in its own way, a peculiar mix of anger and regret and lingering happiness at seeing an old friend. Given the choice, Hui might have avoided his company, or might not have, depending on how well he could resist the temptation. But he did not, of course, have any say in the matter, so his meetings with Sunho continued. However, now and then Namjoon did summon Hui to report to him directly. One might have said it was to give him important orders or to judge Hui's likelihood to rebel at any given moment. Hui suspected it was just as much because Namjoon fundamentally did not trust his son to keep an eye on Hui properly, or even trust that Sono wouldn't betray him for Hui if he completely turned his back. For whichever reason, Hui was called to meet with Namjoon a couple of weeks after receiving his salary. They met in one of the manor's small private rooms. Hui came in after dark, with only one servant seeing him, the one appointed to lead him to his room. Even Sunho wasn't present at the meeting, only Hui and Namjoon. Namjoon drank tea. He didn't offer Hui any. "My son has told me some of your current plans to get the attention of the local gang that works for Pangwon," he said. "I would like you to explain for me why you think this is a good first step, rather than simply joining his service once we've reduced the size of his private army and targeted his arsenal." "My lord," Hui said, hating the sound of the word on his tongue. "I think both ideas will work well in tandem. Pangwon's a discerning man. To get his attention and keep it, it would be better to have more than one hook." Namjoon sipped his tea. "You're not wrong about that. But I would question why you need or want his attention in the first place. To suit our purposes, you could as easily be one more nameless soldier in his service." "The more Pangwon values my service, the closer I'll be allowed to him. The more he trusts me, the easier it will be to kill him." "Being honest, the only reason you need to be in his service at all is for appearances' sake. So we can call it a signal of how unreliable private armies are. Surely a man of your talents needs no great advantage. How many men did you take down at Liaodong?" The conversation went on this way for a while, pros and cons of Hui's plans discussed at length. In the end, Namjoon said Hui could strategize as he wished, but he would have to report all developments to Sunho and get his approval before making any major decisions. And, of course, that if Hui's plans backfired and caused Namjoon trouble, he would have to bear the consequences. It was about as much as Hui could hope for, though he still seethed at the threat. Since Namjoon seemed to be done with the conversation and on the verge of sending Hui out, Hui took out the money he'd brought with him. He had wrapped it back up in the same cloth it was in when it was given to him, so it should have been easily recognizable. But when he put it down on the table in front of Namjoon with a heavy clunk, Namjoon raised his eyebrows and asked, "What's this, then?" "The money you gave me," Hui said. "I won't take wages from you. I'm your dog, after all, not your employee." Namjoon snorted. "Of course you're not my employee. The money I gave you?"
He still seemed a little puzzled, and not at all angry or domineering, the way Hui expected him to act. He unwrapped the package quickly, and his eyes widened slightly at the silver. Had he forgotten how much he sent? Was he surprised Hui hadn't spent any of it, or... Namjoon ran a hand over the silver pieces, then folded the cloth over them again. "This is the silver I sent you," he said. Again, he didn't sound angry or surprised at Hui returning it. It sounded more like a question. "Yes," Hui said. "This is all of it. Sun-O refused to return it to you when I tried to give it back to him, so I brought it here to give it back myself." "Sun-O refused to return it," Namjoon said. "I see. He didn't bring this up with me." "I figured he wouldn't." "And this is all he gave you?" "As I said, I won't take wages from you. This is every last yang." Namjoon opened the cloth a bit again, took a peek, and closed it. He looked perturbed, but forcibly smoothed his expression. "Fine. If that's what your pride demands of you, I won't give you money again. I will make sure of it." There was something dire about the way he said that, and yet, oddly enough, he still didn't seem to be mad at Hui. "My servant will see you out." Hui thought it over. The one thing he felt sure about was that Namjoon hadn't actually sent him that money. He'd been far too calm about Hui giving it back and hadn't offered any rationale for sending it in the first place, agreeing that Hui was not someone he felt the need to pay wages to. Not to mention that he looked practically baffled at the sight of the money itself. No, the money hadn't come from Namjoon, which meant it had actually just been a gift from Sun-O. "Stupid fucking idiot," he muttered as he walked back to his hut. He was almost cursing himself as well as Sun-O. He should have known who it was from to begin with. Namjoon would never have given Hui wages. Not only were they pay for an employee rather than a blackmailed ruffian, but they were a trail someone could follow to figure out who Hui was working for. Sun-O, on the other hand, had spent a large portion of his life trying to sneakily force Hui into accepting food and money. Usually Hui was pretty good at preventing him, but in this case he'd been blinded by three things. 1, the sheer amount of money. Sun-O had never had the audacity to offer such a large gift until now. The extravagance reeked of guilt. It made Hui want to punch him. Again. 2, the particular excuse he'd offered. Sun-O's usual tactic was to claim he just happened to have extra food on him, or use yon against Hui, or occasionally lose a bet with suspicious ease. He'd never brought Namjoon into it before, because why would he? And he should have known better than to think it would work, honestly. If Hui didn't accept charity from friends, he certainly didn't accept it from enemies. Stupid fucking idiot. 3. They weren't friends anymore. They had both said they weren't friends anymore. So what the fuck was Sun-O thinking? Hui sank down on a seat at the table outside his hut. He rubbed his forehead. "Buy your friends some wine," Sun-O had said. "Get yourself a new outfit. The thing that always made Yon happiest was seeing her Oraboni happy too." Of course, that had always been what made Sun-O happiest too. But he wasn't supposed to care about Hui anymore. Not like that. And how could he possibly have thought that this would make Hui happy? It was such a cheap way to go about it. Cheap, even if literally expensive. If Sun-O wanted to make Hui happy, he could have fucking apologized for all the shit he'd put Hui through, or told him more than the bare minimum about how Yon was doing, or prevented him from falling into this situation in the first place. Though he supposed Sun-O had at least attempted the latter, begging Hui not to confront Namjoon. He'd just failed miserably. He'd always been bad at maneuvering Hui. They'd known each other longer than anyone else, but Sun-O was still awful at knowing what made Hui tick. And Hui had misunderstood Sun-O, too. If he'd only seen through this pitifully transparent lie,
he would never have brought up the matter before Namjoon. He didn't completely understand Namjoon and Sono's relationship. But he knew Namjoon's strictures were one reason Sono acted so distant lately, one reason he'd betrayed Hui in the first place. And Namjoon's anger, when Hui had departed, had probably been directed at Sono. He felt a little sick. Sono would be fine, of course. But if Hui had known, he would have handled things differently. Stupid fucking idiot. He saw Sono only a few days later, early evening again. He looked as cool and professional as usual. Hui, I have some news for you. Hui let him into the hut. As he closed the door, he asked, Was the money actually your father's, or did it come out of your savings? Sono said, Don't worry. I've been informed I won't be giving you money again. Hui crossed his arms. I'm not hassling you about it, but if you embezzled from your father, he probably had you beaten. I'm trying to figure out how much of an idiot you are. Sono snorted. My father doesn't beat me anymore. I have duties to perform that need me in good health, and we need to put up a united front for the court. These days we just talk. That was good, Hui supposed, though talking probably meant Namjoon levying threats at Sono. Threats directed at him, at Hui, maybe even at Yeon. Probably Hui should have felt more annoyed at that than he actually felt. But if he was being honest, he'd known for years what being close to Sono might cost him. Namjoon had always disapproved of their relationship, and Hui had known perfectly well the way Namjoon dealt with opponents. He just figured that somehow he and Sono could dodge those sorts of consequences. He supposed they had, in a way, ultimately. It hadn't been friendship with Sono that had turned Namjoon against him. It just hadn't helped him any either. So we talked, Sono said. And I'm about over talking about it now, if you don't object. His voice tilted lightly into sarcasm. Sure. After all, we don't talk about anything anymore. Just about Pungwon. There's nothing else for us to talk about. We aren't friends. No, Hui agreed. He was going to kill Sono's father and ruin Sono along with him in the process. We aren't. We can't be. They both looked at the ground. Money is a terrible way to apologize, Hui said. It wasn't an apology. What was it, then? Your friend said you didn't have much good food to eat. You should be getting enough to eat. Sono glared at Hui, as if ready to fight Hui over this opinion, fully ready to justify the importance of Hui eating well, or perhaps ready to defend himself from accusations of this being a friendly sort of action. Hui had no actual plans of making such an accusation. If they were still friends, he didn't think Sono would have pulled such a dumb scheme. Probably he would have just forcefully asked Hui out to eat and sneakily paid the dinner before Hui could get around to it. Much more subtle. But they weren't friends anymore. They didn't go out to eat together. They never met outside this hut. And they didn't talk about anything except plans to kill Pungwon. The soft anxiety Sono always felt over Hui's well-being probably churned in his belly all the time without him being able to do anything about it. Hui sighed. Moonbo was joking. We eat just fine. Good, then. If it worries you that much, you can eat with us next time you come. You'll see the food is up to standards, and there's plenty of it. No need to stuff silver in my mouth. Sono grimaced, whether at the joke or at the offer, Hui couldn't tell. He neither accepted nor refused the invitation. I came to give you news, he said, not to talk about this. Okay, Hui said. News then. If Sono ever did eat dinner with them, Moonbo and Chungbum and especially Pak Chido would probably throw a fit. Hui still sort of hoped he someday would.
The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. Thank you for listening.